Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming. I tell you what, people, I'm going to keep saying her. I believe Jesus may be coming sooner than we think. We got to keep our eyes on the sky because I believe one day soon we may hear that trumpet blow. We need to watch what's happening in the world. We need to be alert what's happening in Israel and around the world, the nations of the world. It's happening while we're standing here. Everything that's happening right now, I believe, is a buildup. And we are watching Israel become more and more separated in the world. And I heard one evangelist the other day say that he believes should Jesus tarry within the next 4 years, Israel will be standing all by itself in the world, supporting itself in every area. They will no longer be looking to the United States whatsoever. God has got his hand on this little nation, and we should be watching what's happening in Israel as we see the buildup in these last days that we live. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you again for another day, for your mercies are new every morning, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you and we love you. And Father, we ask that the Holy Ghost again would join us together. Unite us as the family of God in love, Father. Let your unity be so strong within this body, Father, that every time someone enters through the doors, they will sense the love of Jesus Christ. And we praise you and we thank you. We commit this today, your word, Father, and ask that your anointing would be upon each one of us, Father, as your word goes forth to receive and to learn, Father. And we praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 10, if you brought your Bibles here today, which most of you, I don't know if you do. You should. All right. We should bring our Bibles, people. We should bring our Bibles. It's a testimony. It's a testimony to the people who are looking out these apartment houses right out the door here. If you look when you drive up, there's somebody standing in one of them somewhere all the time. They're watching, who are all those silly people? It's us. God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We're it. And it's not for showmanship, but it's to show people that I love Jesus. I love the Word of God, and I'm not ashamed of it. You need to carry your Bible when you come to church. I understand the iPhones, the iPads, the iWhats. But you need the I am in your hand. Amen? You need the I am. Praise the Lord. We got to get the Word out. We got to be excited about Jesus. We got to speak in tongues. We got to lay hands on the sick. We got to set the captives free. It's done through the Word. That's why the enemy doesn't like it when the Word is exposed and expressed. Praise the Lord. I'm getting away from the sermon I was going to preach. I'm going to preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 10, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. When heaven is silent, when heaven is silent, we love stories about answered prayer, don't we? Don't we love testimonies when we hear God answers prayers? We get a thrill hearing the accounts of God's miraculous interventions in the lives of his people. We're specific and confident and bold. We're absolutely convinced the Lord will answer. aren't we, when we hear testimonies? God answered their prayer. He's going to answer my prayer. We feel a level of faith and enthusiasm that we're never experienced before. Your faith is challenged. We ask, we seek, we knock, but God seems to be silent. He seems to be silent. The thing that we wanted does not materialize. Our zeal is crushed, and we wonder what happened. We ask ourselves, and the Lord, is it worth it? Did I do something wrong? Does the Lord even hear me? Does the Lord even care about me? You ever been there? We always got to remember ourselves that God is not a respecter of persons. He loves us all. He loves us all. How many have ever seen the movie Santa Claus with Tim Allen? After causing Santa Claus to fall off his roof and die, Tim Allen becomes the new Santa Claus. In that movie, Tim's ex-wife and her new husband both confess that they no longer believe in Santa Claus. And they tell when it was in their lives and they stopped believing in him and what caused it. It was when a request that they had made of Santa were not fulfilled. The woman had requested a special doll and the stepdad had requested a weenie whistle. And when they didn't get what they wanted, they responded by simply closing themselves off to the reality of Santa Claus. God's seemingly no is not limited to those who are living in sin. Sometimes us, it seems like too, doesn't it? And no matter how spiritual you may be, there are going to be times that God may seem not to answer your prayer. Does God answer prayer? Does God hear prayer? He does, doesn't he? Because he said he does, and he does not lie. And it doesn't matter how much you have sacrificed or how much you endured for the cause of Christ. You can ask Paul. Look what Paul did. And he endured a lot. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it gives a list of some of the sufferings that Paul experienced. Paul tells us his suffering in stripes above measure. Several times in prison, exposed to death often, three times beaten with rods, once was stoned, three times he was shipwrecked a night and a day and was adrift on the open sea, in prison several times, and the list just goes on with Paul. You'd think the guy would have given up, huh? But look what that man had gone through because he had a call in his heart. He knew the God that he was serving. He didn't give up. And it doesn't matter either how much you've accomplished for the cause of Christ. There will be times that it feels like the Lord has turned a deaf ear to your request. We need to remember in God's infinite wisdom and in the light of eternity depends upon the will and purpose of God for each individual. We got to remember that. When I pray for people, I don't put myself in a position where I got to get them healed. That's not my responsibility. I couldn't do it anyway. God is the healer. Jesus Christ is the healer. By his stripes, we are healed. And there are different scriptures, and we can't go into all of them today, but there are reasons sometimes prayers are hindered and not answered in a way that we think they should be. And that's why it's God's purpose in every individual what's going on, isn't it? Every individual. And then again, Paul's example of one who accomplished a great deal for the Lord. He had started many new churches, written down portions of the Bible, and trained young pastors and missionaries. But even for him, there were times that heaven was silent when he prayed. If it happened to Paul, it's certainly going to happen to you and I, isn't it? How are you going to respond when that happens in your life? How are you going to make it through? I'm going to give you six Christ-honoring responses that you can make a part of your life when you face one of those times when the Lord seems to be silent to your heartfelt desire. Number one, treat trials as a gift from God. Treat trials as a gift from God. You can treat trials as a nuisance to be ignored or just go away. That noise in the car, that numbness in your left arm, or the bills that you receive immediately and you throw them in file 13, they're just a nuisance, they'll go away. See, you don't pray about them because you refuse to even acknowledge their existence. Or you could treat the trial as punishment to be endured. I deserve everything I'm getting. Just better grin and bear it, and it'll be gone soon. Treat trials as problems to be solved, because we know problems solve themselves, don't they? Or as a, this is a good one, or as a gift to be accepted. Who wants to accept a trial and a test? See, acceptance is the issue. The point of prayer is to get God's will accomplished on the earth, not man's will accomplished in heaven. Amen? See, gifts bring joy, don't they? James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." That's tests and trials. Count it all joy when James was addressing them. Count it all joy. See, temptations, they were actually testings and trials, actually preparation for persecution coming. I think we need to be there today too, don't we? Prepare ourselves for what's coming in this land, because we're seeing it happen more and more. Gifts come from people who love you, and gifts, at least the best ones, come from people who know you. And listen to the Lord, James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning." All good and perfect gifts come from God. That's what He gives us. He's the Father of light. When He said, "Let there be light," God is light. It's His light. Number two, remember what God has already said. Surpassing great revelations. When God doesn't seem to be saying anything, rest your confidence on what He has already said. Remember this song? "When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath is covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The solid rock, Jesus." Think about some of the surpassing great revelations that God has given you. Go back to the book of Psalms. Listen as the writers struggle in their own questions about unanswered prayer and God that seems far away from them. They can't explain it. Listen to them complain over the fact that at the time when they most needed to see God's face, that His face seemed to be hidden. Have you ever been there? And then listen to them find confidence, people. When you get in there, listen to them find the confidence in the promises of God, in His promises that will never change. No matter how our world may be changing all around us, God's promises will never change. Psalms 54:7. "For He has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen His desire upon my enemies." I like that. Delivered us from all our troubles. And number three, continue praying to God, "Three times I pleaded." We know who said that, don't we? 2 Corinthians 12:8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." See, the apostle knew it was the Lord allowing this, but he didn't understand why. Have you ever had a time in your life when you didn't understand why things weren't happening, or they didn't happen or should happen, and you just couldn't figure them out? Our brother Paul, I'm sure, had that same problem, but God told us not to lean on our own understanding. See, Paul's prayer was persistent and it was passionate. Paul pleaded with God. The word is translated pleaded, besought is pleaded, is the same word that is used to describe the way Jairus asked for the healing of his daughter who was dying. Mark 5:23, and besought him greatly. That was an impassioned plea by him. He's saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. It was how a leper sought cleansing from his leprosy. Mark 1:40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him. He was begging him, pleading, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make him clean. Make me clean, I should have said. See, it was how a servant begged his master for mercy over a bill that he owed so that he would not be thrown into prison and separated from his family. It says in Matthew 18:29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He was pleading with them. He was pleading with them. How would you pray if your daughter was dying? How would you pray if your limbs were being destroyed by leprosy? How would you pray if you were getting ready to be separated from your family because of debt that you owe? The first response that many people give when God seems not to come through for them is that they give up on God and they give up on prayer. I've had Christians walk up there and tell me that when they were going through severe trials or situations in their life and say, God doesn't hear me, he doesn't care, he's never done a thing for me, and they give up on him and they quit. Not realizing that that was Satan speaking to their minds. Because God never tells a lie. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is at work in our life moment by moment. And we have to remember that when we're going through difficult times of life, when the enemy is coming in and saying, God doesn't care. This isn't real. This isn't real stuff. It doesn't make any matter how much you pray. It's not real. Whatever the devil will try to plant in your mind, your spirit, it's a lie from hell if it doesn't match the word of God. Right. And that's before people ever get to the pleading part to God, they give up. Just before the answer may be there, or whatever God is going to be doing in their life, they didn't even get to that point. They may have hinted, suggested, or even asked, but they hadn't pleaded. We need to plead. It may very well be that God is just waiting until you're flat on your face before you're laying it all on the line, humiliating yourself in his eyes before he will give you the answer to the prayer. See, God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. I've heard people pray for things, they just kind of come before God like he's a big man upstairs, they call him. And they'll say a frivolous prayer about whatever that need is. I've known people like that, been around them when they prayed, and there's no pleading, there's no heartfelt plead for the situation that they're asking for. And we besought, we beseech, we beg, we plead to a God who loves us. The only reason that Paul quit praying this particular request was because God gave him the answer. Paul accepted that answer and continued on with his life. And we need to push. We need to push through all of the distractions, all the noise. We need to push through all of that. And the acronym for push, P-U-S-H, pray until something happens. Push. Get rid of all the junk stuff that is trying to come in and keep you from coming before God and saying, God, touch my family. Lord, touch my finances. I need you right now, Lord. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your ability. I need the Holy Ghost to work in my life right now. Lord, I need my family brought back together. Lord, I plead with you, move in my life. God sees the heart and the sincerity. He doesn't do that because he's sitting up there prideful and saying, I'm going to make a big. That isn't what it's saying. We come before because he's a living God. We plead before the living God to move. Because see, God knows something in you that you don't know about yourself. We need to come before him and plead before him, beseech him. Because, see, he may be working in something in us that we don't understand, that we need to be in the Word seeking him and let him reveal to us as we are in the Word and praying to him. Because he's constantly working in us. Don't give up praying until something happens, either to change your situation or to change you. Here's an illustration. A little boy told his teacher one day that he had lost his marbles. He asked if he could have prayer that God would enable him to find them. She was a Christian, and so she agreed. The next day, she hesitantly asked the little boy if he had found his marbles. He answered, "No, ma'am, but he took away my desire for them." Number four, listen for God's voice. Listen for his voice. God sometimes has to remove all the noises, doesn't he, from our lives in order for us to be able to hear him. We allow so many things to compete for our attention in our lives. Even when we come into church, even when we come in prayer meetings once a month, we come into a church, we sit there and those voices, those noises are coming at our mind, taken away from what our intent is to be before a living God, beseeching and pleading for what we need in our life. And they come in there and we're thinking about so many other things, the enemy. We need to push through all of that, amen? We're so busy, there's no time and no motivation to just sit down and listen. The only way that he can get us still long enough to get our attention is by knocking the breath out of us sometimes. It says in Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted above the earth." He says, "Be still." God says, "Be still." And it may be that we have to be on our faces in sorrow and suffering before we're willing to listen. I've heard so many testimonies about people who have made that as a testimony, saying that they never listened to God. They didn't understand, so they didn't listen, or whatever the case may be. And they, until they were on their back in a hospital room, then they had time to lay there and pray, and God was able to speak into their hearts, and they could hear the things in their life that God was trying to get out. Because many times there's things going on within our spiritual life, our physical life, things around us that God knows what's going on and he's continually speaking to us, but we can't hear him because we're not in the Word. We're not praying the way we should. We're just thinking it's a nuisance. And God sometimes allows. See, God doesn't go out and give us bad gifts, does he? I just read that. He doesn't do evil things to us, but sometimes he may allow things into our life to put us where we are so that he can begin to minister and to speak within our life. I know that I'm one of those people that I need to submit more to that, to the guiding of the Holy Spirit to settle down in my spirit and listen. I need to do that because I don't want to have to end up in a hospital bed or some other situation to be able to hear what God could have said to me by me sitting in my home. Be still. See, God speaks through our tears, people. He listens. We need to listen for his voice. Don't limit where the voice of God can be found either. Look what it says in 1 Kings 19, 11-12, speaking of Elijah, where he expected to hear God's voice. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." That had to be pretty noisy, didn't it? That's got to be God breaking those rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice. I know I've had experience in my life where God just spoke softly into my life. I thought I had to be active all the time, going here, doing this and doing that. But many times God says, "Be still." And then he just speaks with a small voice. And when you hear him speak, it's an awesome sound to hear his voice speaking into your spirit because it's the love of God. It's His love speaking into you in a small voice. And through that love, He's exposing Himself to you that He cares about you and He's trying to do a work in your life. God used a little boy by the name of Samuel to cause Eli to hear His voice. It says in 1 Samuel 3:8, "And the Lord called Samuel again in the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child." If you're waiting for the miraculous, for God to communicate His message to you, you're going to wait a long time. God uses everyday occurrences in our life to show us His desires. We got to look around when we're active every day too, within the home, within our jobs, wherever we're at. We have to be aware that our God is with us. And He can speak to us throughout the day also. In the middle of a crisis, you may hear all kinds of voices telling you what you need to do. God may be saying something to you, but in all the confusion, you can't sort it out. And you can't understand God's message. One of the principles of biblical interpretation, or even a principle of life reality, is that you interpret difficult or unclear passages by clear passages. You know, when my mother died here shortly, and some of you had loved ones pass away shortly too, we received a book in the mail, I just thought about that, from four businesses from where my mom lived and was buried. And it was really a kind of a really cool book because it's got a whole, it's about that thick, and it's a really, really nice looking book. And it's kind of a ministering book, not scripturally. It wasn't scripturally, but it had some really good points in there about what we experience as we go through grieving stages of loved ones that die and how they hurt us and everything. And I was going through some of those, and they really made a lot of sense to me. And just simple little ones like don't make rash decisions by selling your house when a loved one dies. Don't move to this other state or country when a loved one dies. And I thought, you know something? Those are really good points that you need to be told sometimes when you're grieving heavily. And that's why when we walk through terrible times in our life and we're going through tests and trials, we need to be close to Jesus and in His Word so that the Holy Ghost can do the same thing to us and let His Word be transferred into our spirit as we receive it. Because God speaks through this. God speaks through this, people. This is His Word. And it lines up with His Word, doesn't it? Why should we go to the Bible? Judge what you are feeling by what has already been revealed to you in the Bible. That's why we go to the Bible. Judge what's in the Bible. Your feelings by what's in the Bible. See, what God says to you in your spirit will never conflict with what God has already said in His Word. That's why some people get deceived. They go away from the Scriptures because they think God gave them a personal revelation about something. They're coming out of the woodwork every day. You can hear them today. False prophets. God gave them this revelation, a brand new one, and nobody's ever heard it before. It's a brand new one. Here it is. But it didn't line up with the Word of God. And we always need, it's got to line up with the Word of God. Number five, I'm getting close to done, aren't I? Trust in God's power. Trust in God's power, not your own. Don't trust in your own power. Paul's question in the midst of all this and his reason for even asking God to take this problem away was because he may have thought that he could be more effective servant of God. He could accomplish more for God if God would just heal him. If God would just heal me, Lord, I could do more for you. Lord, if you would just bless my finances and put that $10 million in my bank account, think what I can do for you, God. It would make him more powerful, wouldn't it? But I guess that's not part of the issue. God wanted Paul to be in a position where he was forced to realize and remember that anything of any substance that was accomplished was because of God's power, not because of Paul's power. God builds his church. God is the one who does the work in your and my life that no man can do. Paul was in a position where the temptation would have been great for him to start to take credit for some of the things that God had accomplished through his life, all these revelations and all the things God used him in. He could start taking credit for a lot of that. I did this, I did this, I delivered, Paul could have done that. And Paul even recognized that reason that was given to him, why the thorn in the flesh. It was in order to keep him humble. 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Whew. He needed to remember that he was not battery operated, didn't he? He's not self-sufficient. He had to be plugged into the power source of all time, and that's Almighty God. Trust in God's power when you have none, people. Trust in God's power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Whose grace? God's grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want the power of Christ resting upon me. I need Jesus. If somebody says, you're really a weak guy, and I said, you bet I am. I'm so weak, I need Jesus every moment of my life. I know my weaknesses, and I know my shortcomings. I need Jesus. See, there are physical conditions that people face that can cause them to ask, how am I ever going to make it through this? You ever said that? I have. How am I ever going to be used of God to my family or to anyone else in condition that I'm in now? I've been there too, in illness, thinking, how can I protect my family? How can I do this or that? I've been there. I know what it feels like. God's strength is not measured in ordinary terms, people. Riches and physical strength and beauty and intellect, but rather is made perfect in weakness. And God answers, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're weak and when you can't do anything yourself, you call out to God. You plead out to God and say, God, I need you right now. I need your help. I need your help over my family. I need your help to protect. I need your help to support us. I need your help in every area. See, the Lord is telling us, I can get through anything with Jesus. And it's often best just to leave matters in God's hands when problems are too great for us. Amen? Amen. If you're facing a problem right now in your life and you say, this problem is just too great for me, it may be an illness. It may be financial, it may be a relationship. And it just seems out of control, and I can't do anything about it. That's the best time to just say, Lord, it's yours. I give it to you. I give it to you right now, God. It's yours. I can't do anything. It's yours. I don't know what the next moment's going to be in this situation. But God, here, I plead with you, God. It's yours. And watch what he can do. Watch what he can do. If there's anything in your life, and you just say, it's out of my control. I see no hope. That's when you turn to the God of hope. Because God says, I will deliver you from all. Amen? And he does. He does. Throughout my life as a personal testimony, all the trials and tribulations I walked through, I'm standing here today because God's promises are true. He delivers me from them all, and I don't know how he does it, but somehow I'm here today. Somehow he's gotten me through financial difficulties, through illnesses and myself and my family. And here we are today is because God is faithful. But at the moment I was in him, I saw no hope. When I walked through agoraphobia, I was hopeless. I didn't know what was happening. I just cried out, God, Lord Jesus, I need you. I don't know what's going on. It's nothing I can do. And I walked through a lot of years with that. But you know something? God has been faithful. I pleaded to him. I said, I plead to you, God, to take this thing and can take it over. And he did. See, when God chooses not to use his power to alleviate the pain, trust in God's power to see you through the pain. Many times he will allow us because he's doing a work with inside of us to build our faith and our trust in a never-failing God. And he many times can do that when he allows pain in testings and trials in our life. That's why when you're walking through them, you continue to rejoice, you continue to praise, you continue to thank him, and you continue to listen to him as he's speaking into your life through his word. The last one, number six, serve God right where you are. You want God to change your situation? But did you ever think that God may have put you in that situation to use you right in the middle of it? Don't ask God to change things until you look for and found how you can minister in or be changed by the circumstance that you're in. God wants to use us even in the middle of our pain. Even in our... I'm not getting into them today, but I can share testimony with you. As I was in the very depth of my misery and situations of my life is when God used me the most sometimes to minister to others. And what that does is it builds in you the strength and the faith, knowing that it's not you, but it's the God who lives within you, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost manifesting through your life and using you up and raising you up and using you when you're the weakest of your life and you're the strongest in reality because you've got the God of the universe giving you the strength to carry through. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God doesn't do anything without a reason, people. He doesn't allow, permit, or do anything without a reason. And you can trust him. Even if you don't understand it, you can trust him. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. I'm excited because I serve a living God. We serve a living God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. God might not grant our every request. And he might not take away every pain, but he will always be there to gently wrap his arms of love and wipe our tears and give us the strength and motivation we need to make it through life. How are you going to respond to God when heaven is silent? Huh? Are you going to push him away? Are you going to pull him tighter than you ever have before and let him wrap his loving arms around you and tell you as you're going to make it? I'm going to get you through it. I'm going to see you all the way. I'm going to take away the fear. I'm going to take away the heartache. I'm going to take away the pain. But you got to stay close to me because I'm not going to bring deliverance right at this point in your life. But I'm going to take you through something that you never thought you could go through, that you said, I couldn't handle that. You ever hear people say, I can't handle that? Well, with Jesus, you can handle anything. You can handle anything when you put your trust and your hope in him. And there may be some in here with every head bowed that you walked in here this morning and say, I've never, ever, ever have trusted in that Lord, that God you're talking about. I've never surrendered my life to him. And if I died, I don't even know where I would go. If there's anybody in there, I give you an invitation right now to come forward or come to me after the service. And surrender your life to this loving God that you, when you are walking through trials and troubles, not just in this earth, but preparing yourself for eternity, that you got a God that is a living God that died on a cross and through his blood will wash away all your sins. But you need to come forward. You need to come and confess and repent. And you need to come forward to be a born-again Christian. And is there anybody in here this morning that would say with me that I've been walking through some trials that have been difficult? Come on, put them way up, people. Let's by faith. When you do this, when you put your hands up, I'm saying that point them toward God in praise. Point them to God in praise. Heavenly Father, you see these hands right now. Lord, you see every heart. You see people in here that have been brokenhearted, those that are living in fear, those that are wondering what's going to happen in the next moment, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to me. Lord, what is going on, Lord? Those are the hands that are up toward you right now, Father. And Father, we come to you and we plead, we beseech you, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would intervene however you desire to do it, for your promises are new. They're new in the Word of God, and your mercies are new every morning, Father. And your promises are never changing. And we take those promises right now, and Lord, we ask that you manifest them in our life for whatever that need is. And we trust in you, Heavenly Father, right now. We trust in you. We know, Lord, that you're going to bring us through. Every hand that's up, Lord, we know you're going to bring us through. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know the circumstance, but as all I know is I love you, Lord, and you're the living God of my life, and you are going to bring and deliver me from my trouble. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I pray that you bless every home represented here. Continue to allow the Holy Ghost to convict our hearts and lives to live obedient lives to you, Lord, and to live holy lives for you, that we may show this world out here that you are a living God and that we truly love one another as the body. And Lord, I thank you for that, and I praise you for it, and I glorify you for it, and I worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Have some great fellowship today, and keep looking up.